This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And in that first multinational force to invade Iraq to oust Saddam Hussein back in 2003, Operation Iraqi Freedom, you had an oddball coalition of Dutch, Portuguese, Ukrainians, do you remember, and Japanese troops with the larger, much larger forces of Britain and the United States. There were two soldiers from Iceland, 55 from Tonga. But by the time most of the coalition flags pulled out, it was clear the U.S.-led invasion had gone very wrong. But today, there's a new coalition in town. Perhaps not as credible in pure military terms as the U.S. forces of 2003, but this coalition is not oddball. It's thousands of Shiite militia fighters, Sunni troops, Iranian-backed officers with real Iranian advisors and equipment deployed to roll ISIS out of Tikrit, the ancestral city of Saddam Hussein, and from the region. Defense Secretary Ash Carter seemed to say this week that having all those local factions together was a strength of this force.
We continue to conduct this campaign in a multi-sectarian way because we've been down the road of sectarianism in Iraq. And it's important that the government of Iraq today not go down that road again. So we need to have success against ISIL. We need to have it in a way that doesn't inflame sectarianism again. And that's why we're watching this so closely.
Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Martin Dempsey even had praise for how the Iranians were fitting in.
This is the most overt conduct of Iranian support in the form of artillery and other things. So if they perform in a credible way, rid the city of Tikrit, turn it back over to its inhabitants, then it will, in the main, have been a positive thing in terms of the counter-ISIL campaign.
It's a campaign that will soon have to move from attacking Tikrit to the much bigger goal of liberating the city of Mosul. Joining us from Baghdad is Jane Araf, correspondent for Al Jazeera English. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you.
What do you make of the personnel involved in this Iraqi fighting force? There's indications that Iran has a major role. The head of the Al-Quds Brigade, I believe, has reported to be in the front lines there, which creates some problems for perhaps U.S. policy, since that person has been declared a terrorist on a number of occasions. What do you make of the personnel here?
It's absolutely fascinating and very worrying to a lot of people. On one hand, this is probably the only force that the Iraqis could have compiled that had have a credible chance of actually going in and taking back large amounts of territory. We have to remember that the Iraqi military basically melted away. Entire divisions collapsed in June. So now we have a compilation of Iranian-backed Shia militias who are better equipped, better trained, much more disciplined, and they're at the forefront of this. Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force Brigade, the elite Iranian forces, has indeed been sighted out on the battlefield on the front lines, and he has been here almost constantly since this battle began. This is a priority for Iran.
What is the prospect for real progress on the part of the Iraqi forces, and where are they getting bogged down, as far as you can tell?
Well, they're bogged down really just because the kind of enemy they're facing now, ISIS, ISIL, has proved to be a very adaptable fighting force. And it's made up of a lot of people who are not only willing but eager to die. So you combine that with the expertise they've gotten from former Iraqi and other officers in terms of snipers, incredible explosives expertise. That's partly why this battle is going so slowly. So, for instance, one of the factions there coming from near Samarra has basically dismantled and detonated several hundred roadside bombs. It's that heavily mined and that heavily laid with explosives. And it's not just the roads. Most of Tikrit is like that. It's the same thing that we saw in Fallujah with Al-Qaeda. There were booby traps everywhere. And that's part of the reason that this is such slow going. The other part of the reason, of course, is the ethnic component of this. This is a mainly Shia force, very fervently Shia, going into a Sunni province. We have to remember this is the biggest battle in a major Sunni city since ISIL rolled in here.
Who wants this Battle of Tikrit to be the opening battle in that Shia-Sunni war?
Well, certainly ISIL does, ISIS, Daesh, whatever you want to call it. They have inherited at least a little part of the ideology of Al-Qaeda, which one of their main goals was to actually start sectarian fighting. And it succeeded in bringing this country deep into civil war. It crawled back from that. And now those rifts are opening again. The difference is that American forces are not here. In many places, they acted as the glue that kept things together. Certainly, they helped ease Kurdish-Arab tensions, and we've seen those flaring again. But those who want this to become the prelude to another civil war, those are what Iraq always says are its many, many enemies. There are other countries, certainly, probably, who would like to see Iraq fail. And certainly it's ISIS and Daesh, which knows that if there is more sectarian conflict, if Iraqis start fighting each other, they're not going to be fighting ISIS.
Well, we'll get a sense of what the level of solidarity is among that Iraqi fighting force from someone in the Iraqi government itself. Jane Aroff, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Jane Aroff is correspondent for Al Jazeera English, focusing on the battle for Tikrit from Baghdad. And now a heroic, if not rosy, assessment from a man with a huge personal stake in the outcome in Iraq, but who also is the chief spin doctor for the Iraqi government. Ambassador to the United States, Luqman Feili, has seen it all, though. His nation under Saddam Hussein, under U.S. occupation, in sectarian chaos a decade ago, and the corrupt regime that finally collapsed last year as ISIS advanced in Iraq and Syria. Ambassador Feili says far from dividing his country, he believes this military operation is the beginning of putting Iraq back together again.
It's a key milestone for us in the sense of us rehabilitating our military infrastructure. This attack is being led by the Iraqi army and being supported by peripheral, let's say, Iraqi entities, including support from Iran. That's not just Iranian support, it's getting from across others as well. So the type of support has been some intelligence sharing, some expertise in countering the ISIS, and also in relation to ammunition and other type. Bearing in mind, let's not forget the air support, which the Allied has been tremendous.
What is your message to the people under the control of ISIS, people who used to be Iraqi citizens expecting services from Baghdad?
They are our people. We don't distinguish between any community, but say that they are all Iraqis. So in that sense, our heart goes for any atrocities committed by ISIS because we are responsible for that as a government.
Let's just say that I'm an old-timer in Tikrit, all right, and I'm watching these forces advancing on the forces of ISIS, who I'm quite frankly terrified of. But if I think about all of the predictions from people such as yourself and all of the promises of services from Nouri al-Maliki, from the U.S. forces who invaded Iraq in 2003, and then look at what's happened with ISIS. Why should I believe you about predictions for the future in Tikrit when, according to my history, the only one who ever did anything for me was Saddam Hussein, and he's dead?
I think Saddam caused most of the point we talked about, whether it was invasion of other countries, destruction, ethnically cleansing, and so on. So the hatred and the divide in the society took place as a result of his policies of for 3.5 decades of culture of war. That's where we're starting from. You are absolutely right. In 2003, the whole society was damaged. We are trying to regain the initiative, the government and others. The formation of the new government are reflective of that. And let's not forget, neighbors. We can't choose our neighbors, and therefore we need to work with each other to coexist in a prosperous Iraq. The wealth is there. We need to look forward to that.
Speaking of your neighbors, the Kurds believe that the lesson they learned was don't trust the folks in Baghdad. Go it alone. The Kurds may be fighting with you now, but what's to keep them from creating their own nation headquartered in Erbil once Mosul is retaken?
The Kurds get their majority of their income from the central government, which is primarily coming from the southern provinces of Basra and others. So financially, that will not work for them. Politically, they are part of Iraq, and therefore they know that brotherhood and working together is a key way forward. I can tell you, Iraq, because of its richness, everybody would think they can go alone, but they have discovered that they cannot work alone. They have to work with each other. And this is where ISIS has taught us, and we need to learn fast and quickly from this lesson, harsh lesson.
You're an observant Muslim, yes?
I am, yes.
What is your impression of the call for a caliphate by Mr. al-Baghdadi in Syria?
He doesn't represent Islam in any way of walk of life. He is not even a preacher to that effect. He is not even from that scholarly brand or that scholarly ilk to reflect on what is Islam and not. This narrative of a caliphate is out of date now in a number of countries being tried. We need to make sure that the nation states exist in a prosperous way, that we work with each other, that internationally we have an acceptable and an influence into the regional and international domain. To that effect, I think he's way out of line in relation to what he has promoted, in which violence has been the key method of his practice of his Sikh ideology. I think Muslims have learned the harsh way that we need to work with each other, and certainly this Khilafah doctrine need to be a part of history, not future.
But again, if I'm someone who lives in Tikrit, what do I care? Butcher in Syria, butcher in Tikrit, Saddam Hussein, butcher in Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, how do you tell them apart?
Well, I think Tikrit, they have a representation in the provisional councils. They have representations proportion to their population in the parliament, Iraqi parliament. They also have ministers, and speaker of parliament is in the next province next to it, which is the Diyala. So in a way, we have the right people there trying to make sense of the whole chaotic situation which took effect after the invasion of ISIS, the situation in Syria. No other nation can cope with the atrocities ISIS has committed. We have, and we are now winning. We're getting them out of the provinces one at a time, but we are making sure that this year is where we will eradicate ISIS out of Iraq.
In the fall of 2016, we could have coffee in Mosul?
I hope so, yes, and I think so. And as you said, I'm practicing Muslim, so I will say we will pray for that as well.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Luqman Faili, Iraqi ambassador to the United States, thanks so much.
Thank you, John, for having me.